Questions and Answers on the Bible. Chapter 107. The Lost Tribes of Israel. What do you think of the idea that the Anglo-Saxon are the lost tribes of Israel? There is a popular, almost universal, idea that at the time of the Babylonish captivity, 10 of the 12 tribes were wholly lost, and that only 2 tribes could be mustered to return to the land of Palestine at the close of the 70 years. So deeply rooted is this notion that almost everybody knows at once what is referred to whenever the expression, the 10 lost tribes, is used. How this idea came to be, we shall not now stop to inquire, but shall content ourselves with ascertaining what the Bible has to say upon the subject of the lost Israelites, Judah and Israel. First, however, it may be well to note a common misconception concerning the terms Judah and Israel. When the kingdom was divided, after the death of Solomon, the southern portion, consisting of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, was known as the Kingdom of Judah, with Jerusalem as its capital, while the northern portion, consisting of the remaining tribes, was known as the Kingdom of Israel, with headquarters at Samaria. This northern kingdom it was that was first carried captive, and the tribes that composed it are the ones supposed to be lost. Jew and Israelite the same. The misconception is that the term, Jew, is limited to the people of the southern kingdom, namely, to the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and that the term, Israelites, signifies only those tribes composing the northern kingdom, supposed to be lost. Going on in the line of this supposition, the warm, ungoverned imagination of some speculative theologians has fancied that the people generally known as Jews are from the tribes of Judah and Benjamin alone, and that the Anglo-Saxon race, or more specifically, the people of Great Britain and America, are the Israelites, or, in other words, 10 lost tribes, discovered. Character, not nationality. It is easy to see how this originated. It originated in an utter failure to comprehend the promises of the gospel. It was invented in order to bring in the Anglo-Saxon race as inheritors of the promises to Abraham, the fact having been lost sight of that those promises embrace the whole world, without respect to nationality, and that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him, and works righteousness, is accepted with him. If men had believed that an Israelite indeed is one in whom is no guile, they would have seen the folly of the idea that no matter how wicked and unbelieving people may be, they must be Israelites simply because they are part of a certain nation. But the idea of a national church and of a national religion is wonderfully fascinating, because it is so much more pleasant for people to suppose that they are to be saved in bulk, regardless of character, rather than through individual faith and righteousness. Scripture use of the terms. A few texts of Scripture are sufficient to show that the terms Jew and Israelite are used interchangeably, each being applicable to the same person. For instance, in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. But in Romans 11 verse 1 we have the Apostle Paul's statement, I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And the same apostle said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus. Here we have one man of the tribe of Benjamin, a Jew, and another man of the same tribe, an Israelite, and at the same time a Jew. Again, Ahaz was one of the kings of Judah, and reigned in Jerusalem. He was a descendant of David, and one of the ancestors of Jesus according to the flesh. Yet in an account of the invasion of the south of Judah by the Philistines, we are told that the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz king of Israel, for he made Judah naked, and transgressed sore against the Lord. When the apostle Paul had returned to Jerusalem from one of his missionary tours, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people, and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, help! One common ancestor. The reader can readily see the naturalness of this, when he remembers that all the 12 tribes were descended from one man, Jacob, or Israel. The term Israel is therefore applicable to any or all the tribes, while, because of the prominence of Judah, the term Jew came to be applied to any of the children of Israel, regardless of their tribe. In speaking of the covenants, God says that he will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, in order to make it unmistakable that the new covenant is to be made with the entire, undivided people, just as the old covenant was. Thus we see that the term Jews is rightly applied to the same people as is the term Israelites. But we must not forget that, strictly speaking, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. The reckoning of the tribes has been lost among the people called Jews, but that makes no difference. They may be called Israelites just as properly as Jews, but neither term is in strict propriety applicable to any of them except to those who have real faith in Jesus Christ, and both terms are, in the strictly scriptural sense, applicable to any who have such faith, though they be English, French, Greek, Turk, or Chinese. None of the tribes lost. That the 10 tribes were no more lost after the close of the Babylonian captivity than they were before, is as plain from the scriptures as that the tribes of Judah and Benjamin were not lost. How does anybody know that these 10 tribes were not lost, that is, lost to sight? By the simple fact that we find reference to them after the captivity. Individuals belonging to those tribes are mentioned by name. In the same way we know that the other tribes existed as distinct after the captivity as before. Not all the people of Israel were carried away to Babylon. The poorest and least prominent were left in their homeland. But the majority of all tribes were taken away, and so in the royal proclamation at the close of the 70 years, the permission to return was universal, as follows. In the first year of Cyrus king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. The permission to return was unlimited, but not all of any tribe took advantage of it. All the tribes, however, were represented, but those that remained were not thereby necessarily lost. A family cannot be said to be lost because they live in a foreign country. Later on, Artaxerxes in his commission to Ezra wrote, I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with you. All Israel represented. Immediately following the proclamation of Cyrus we read, Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. We know that the services of the sanctuary were re-established, and none but Levites could be employed in them, when the foundation of the temple was laid. They set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord. Even after the resurrection and ascension of Christ, we read of Barnabas, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, who recognized the infant Jesus as the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here we see representatives of 2 of the 10 tribes that are supposed to have mysteriously disappeared, expressly mentioned by name as dwelling in Jerusalem. It is most certain that a thing cannot be lost when you know exactly where it is. The other tribes are not specified, but so the priests, and the Levites, and some of the people, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, dwelt in their cities, and all Israel in their cities, the 12 tribes. When the Apostle Paul was on trial for his life, before King Agrippa, he said, Now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. Here we find that the 12 tribes were in existence in the days of the Apostle Paul, and were looking forward in hope to the fulfillment of the promise which God made to the fathers. Again, the Apostle James addressed his epistle to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. We have here sufficient evidence that no one tribe of Israel was ever lost more than another. All tribal distinctions are now lost, and no Jew can tell to which of the 12 tribes he belongs. And so in that sense, not merely 10, but all of the tribes are now lost, although all the 12 tribes are represented in the Jewish people scattered over the earth. God, however, keeps the list, and in the world to come will put every person in his proper place, for the city for which Abraham looked, the capital of the inheritance promised to him and his seed, the New Jerusalem, has 12 gates, and on the gates are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 21 verse 12, whom the Lord counts an Israelite. The last two texts suggest another fact, namely, that God's reckoning of the tribes is not after man's reckoning. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. And he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. All those who are saved will enter in through the gates into the city, but each of those gates has the name on it of one of the 12 tribes, showing that the saved compose the 12 tribes of Israel. This is evident also from the fact that Israel means an overcomer. The epistle of James is addressed to the 12 tribes, yet there is not a Christian who does not know that its instruction and promises are for him. All gone astray. And this brings us to the fact that in reality all the tribes are lost. For all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have burned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Therefore when the Lord Jesus came, he said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." At the very moment when he was about to confer a blessing on a poor, despised Canaanitish woman, a descendant of those heathen who inhabited the land before the days of Joshua, he declared, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Here at last we have located the lost tribes of Israel. Not 10 only, but all of the tribes are lost, so completely lost that the only hope of their salvation is in the death and resurrection of Christ. In this condition we find ourselves, and therefore we can read with delight, as pertaining to us, the promises concerning the gathering of Israel. Whoever acknowledges himself lost, and depends wholly on Jesus for salvation, will surely be saved, and will be numbered among the 12 tribes.